Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Okay. We're on the radio. This is good. Good morning. Live and in person from Our Savior Port Huron. We have broadcast our service for 81 years. So Port Huron, St. Clair County has either been blessed or cursed by the availability of the worship service of our Savior consistently every Sunday. And we treasure that as our heritage and a wonderful blessing for our members and for the community. Yesterday we had our bazaar for those on radio. And I had a batch of gals who come to the bazaar consistently for decades. And they said, oh, Pastor, we listen to you every Sunday. We turn you on as I'm backing out of my driveway. As they go to their church, they listen to the scripture readings. They hear what's going on here at Our Savior. And it prepares and pumps them up to worship at their congregation. That's all we ask. We're not asking to convert you to Lutherans. We're asking you to be enriched in your faith. And so many people tell us that's what this does. And we appreciate it, really do. So this day, as we gather to worship, we're approaching now the Sunday before the last Sunday of the season we call Pentecost. This is a service of the word for our own members. If they say, well, don't you do communion on the third Sunday? Yeah, we do. 95% of the time, unless something changes the schedule. We were to have a congregational meeting today. But as you know, it snowed this week. Ha! And as much as we didn't want to cancel a church council meeting, we felt it for safety and for the cold temperatures, we had to. So back against the wall. Doing that, the bulletin was prepared for this Sunday and the next Sunday, so that there would be no communion this Sunday, anticipating those meetings. But for those who love the gift of Holy Eucharist, which I do too, we do commune next Sunday for Christ the King. We do commune on Thanksgiving Eve, 7 o'clock here at Our Savior, Holy Eucharist. The next Sunday to follow is the first Sunday of Advent, December 1st. Being our first Sunday, we have communion. We have communion 3 times back to back. We have lost nothing. But we welcome the opportunity to be with you for service of the word for those on radio, WPHM. You want to pick up this broadcast with the other previous years? You can pick it up on WPHM.net. WPHM.net, 1380 on the AM dial. We are live right now and we're simulcast. Somebody that doesn't have a radio can turn on their computer or their phone and hear us live. Technology. And the reality, people in hospitals, people anywhere, they can have an opportunity to hear the hymns, the music of the church, and the lessons, the scriptures of the church, and the preaching of the word. So this day, our worship begins. Page 1 in your service folder. If you'll please rise, confession of sin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, healer of our every ill, source of unending mercy. Amen. Embraced in enduring grace and good hope, let us turn again to God, confessing the truth about ourselves. Merciful God, we come before you, beloved, not broken. We have not always treated others as we would want them to treat us. We have not always called out injustice and abuse. We have not always been kind to ourselves. We have not always taken care of the world we share with other living creatures. Remind us of who we are, beloved children bathed in your love. Renew us by your Spirit to live as your holy people, bringing healing to the brokenness around us. Amen. At every moment, you are held in existence by the very love of God, renewed by that Spirit within and among you and made alive in Christ. Receive this assurance in Jesus' name. You are forgiven. You're free to live for the healing of this world. Amen. Entrance hymn, O Lord, what a morning. Sometimes you wake up that way, right? We sing. As you sang that hymn, probably unfamiliar to many of you, I hope you understand the flavor of it. Judgment is coming. You'll hear it in the readings of Scripture for this day, and that's why the appointed hymn. We continue on page two. Yes. Oh, page four, flipped it over. Okay. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Prayer of the day is when we pray together. It reflects the themes of the scripture reading. That's its place. Let us pray together. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without you, nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Embrace us with your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may live through what is temporary without losing what is eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We have a reading of the first lesson, K. Price, our lector.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Malachi, whose name means my messenger, warns that the day of the Lord is coming. On that day, the evil will be destroyed like stubble in a fire, but the sun of righteousness will shine on those who fear God. The first reading is from Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 2a. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kay. On the Sundays of service of the word, I choose to include the psalm. It's Psalm 98, appointed for the lectionary. We read it responsively, but the antiphon, which is included in bold print for your responses at appropriate times, is in righteousness will the Lord judge the world. We begin verse 1. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand, his holy arm, has won the victory. O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. You remember your steadfast love, your faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. In righteousness will the Lord judge the world. Sing to the Lord with a harp and the voice of song, with trumpets and sound of the horn. Shout with joy before the King, the Lord. Let the sea rule and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with equity. In righteousness will the Lord judge the world. Second reading, Bill Price.
Second reading for this Sunday is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we did not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. As is our custom, we rise for the gospel, if you're able to.
We'll speak together in to you, O Lord. So when some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones, gifts that were dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things which you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All this beauty will be thrown down." So they asked Jesus, "When will this be? And what will be the sign that this is going to take place?" Jesus responded, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, don't be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation's going to rise up against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes, and in various places there's going to be famines and plagues. There's going to be dreadful portents. There'll be great signs from heaven. But before this occurs, they will arrest you, the believers. They will persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues, to prisons, and you'll be brought before kings, governors, because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify to me. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you the words. I will give you the wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by your parents, by your brothers, by relatives and by friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Last Sunday's lessons were sort of heavy. This Sunday's getting heavier. Oh, just wait through Advent. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. And of course, kind of like the writer back in the 19th century when he begins his literary piece, these were the best of times and these were the worst of times. We're not Baptists, but can you say amen? Amen. This is reality. Time check. Here we are, 2019. Does God's word have any relevance to the living of our days? Oh, you better believe it. For the skeptic who says, "Oh, the Bible, that's an ancient book. It was written by people way back then. It has nothing to do with present time." They haven't read the Bible. Come to our Monday night class. The weather has tried to stop us. We're back tomorrow night. We're using Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, The Odyssey. I saw him again on TV this morning, and it's further along than I am in the video presentation. He's at door 5. It was impressive what he was saying about present events with Old Testament and New Testament fulfillment as the day hastens on. And like Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, so in the days of Noah, people are going to laugh and scoff and party and have their joy and do whatever they please. There's no God sitting on the throne. And then it's going to come, as it's described in the New Testament, like a thief in the night. The Lord's coming back. Well, that's a lot to think about before Christmas, right? That's what Advent is. It's to shake up the comfortable and take stock of the day. You got a choice with this, Pastor. You got the inside outline of verses that I think are significant and the inside cover of your bulletin. You can follow that. You can look at it during the week. I invite for the last several years you to follow me through the actual scripture. You don't say, he made it up. We're going to see it in the Bible. You didn't have to bring it. It's there before you. Page 5. Open up your bulletin. The Old Testament prophet Malachi. Can we say very few people know where to find it in the Bible? But it's there, Old Testament prophet. But what did he say that was significant? Oh, you're going to hear it. Anybody who is a prophet of Yahweh, Old Testament, the very word prophet meant one who speaks for God. Oh, that's pretty arrogant. How dare you think you speak for God? When I was in my seminary training, I was gradually acquiring the idea that preaching a sermon was not to come up to a podium and give a speech. Okay, that's what most people think preaching is. Preaching is to stand here and say to you, thus saith the Lord. At this point, Luther in the Reformation says, this is where we become clergy, prophet, prophetic, bringing the word of God to the application of the pew sitter to know God is talking to you right now, right here, this place. Not, okay, if it's not through me, maybe it's through hearing the word, right? We teach the word of God is incarnate Christ, the word made flesh, the word proclaimed, and the word written, the Holy Scriptures. If you're not diligently reading the scriptures, you're dependent back to one person, and that's the pulpit. To open up the scriptures. I know a lot of people say, well, Pastor, why do you use 3 lessons? I said, my response is, do you ever read the lessons? Would you read your Bible at home, these texts? The answer is, no, we're too busy. Somebody has to do it and crack open this gem of God's word. Malachi. I love the Hebrew. It's a growing experience for me in Judaism, Hebrew, and the Old Testament to appreciate how they speak. The day is coming. It's burning like an oven. You will find consistently through Hebrew literature, they give you pictures. Why? Because most people were not schooled in schools. They were commoners. Give them pictures and understand and comprehend what God's saying to us. So it's burning like an oven. Well, it's not what you have at home, electric or gas. It was fired by wood. It was thrown in stone. And you had to stoke it high enough to cook your food and your bread. Okay? It's burning like an oven. When all the arrogant, can you think of anybody in this world arrogant? When all the arrogant, God does not discriminate. If you're carrying his card or not, you're a sinner. All the arrogant and evildoers, who are they? Gun shootings at schools? People who supply the weapons? People who hand these out and buy it in somebody else's name and then pass it off to get around the laws? Who are the evildoers? Those are the ones who encourage abortion and murder of innocent life? Are they the ones who steal and rob when you get a gas tank at a station? When you have to look over your shoulder and see if anybody's following you? Who are the evildoers? And then look around. The silent ones who cheat, get caught, not doing with the money and politically charged by the public to use it for appropriate things, and it gets misused. Whether it's in a union phase, oh, you caught me. Or wherever it gets busted, evildoers. I think we could say it's a high population. They're going in the oven. They will become like stubble. Do you know what stubble is? This is all agricultural language. Stubble is the part left over that's trash. It doesn't get used for bread, doesn't get used for food, it doesn't even get given to the cattle to eat. It's stubble. It's worthless. The day will come, they shall be burned up, says the Lord of hosts. This is not Malachi's opinion. The Lord of hosts is transmitting this to you, Israel, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. The evil and the arrogant will not repopulate themselves. They will be wiped clean. My very name will be revered. My name is going to be righteousness. And it's going to rise above all the smoking trash with healing in its wings. That's why we say word of God, word of life. And it is. The psalm is powerful too, but let's go to 2 Thessalonians, page 7. Last week we introduced that lesson. Previous week we used it for All Saints Day. Paul's writing to the church back on All Saints Day that rumors going around, those who have died prior to Christ's return, they miss out on the resurrection. Sorry, buddy, you missed it. It came, you lost. He said, that's not true. All are going to be raised when Christ comes back. They the first after him, we in like fashion. This time, he introduces another reality in the congregation. So don't ever think Christians are above or perfect. Christians are just redeemed sinners. Luther was very adamant about this. Just because you're baptized into Christ doesn't give you a pass to sin. We are this magnificent conflict of sinner and saint. Paul says it in Romans. The very good I should do, I just don't get around to doing it. The things that I should abstain from because I know it's wrong, I joyfully do. What will save me from this body of death? And Paul goes on to answer his question. Thanks be to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so what's the issue in Thessalonica? People are sitting around waiting for Jesus to come. I don't know if you remember in the 70s, the 80s, 90s, and even in past in the 2000s. People go down to Texas and they have this revelation, Jesus is coming. Well, I don't know why you think the United States, and I don't know why you chose Texas, but my Bible says Israel. That's already a distortion. Heresy. But, okay. What are they doing? Sitting around, waiting for the party to begin. Let's see the fireworks, God. Give it to them, those sinners. And every one of them had to tuck their tail in because Christ did not come back. False prophets. Okay. You are to keep working. You are to be faithful to your God till your time or the universe's time comes. Don't hesitate. Politically, America, we would say this is the scriptural reference to what we call politically work fair. Hear me? Work fair, what's that? It means you work, you get food. You don't work, you're not contributing. And that's Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. Everybody has something to do. You can give your excuses. Oh, I'm handicapped. I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't want to work at McDonald's. I don't want to work there. Well, you're throwing up a screen that says, I don't want to work. Everybody can do something. God did not make junk when he made you. God did not make junk when he made me. I don't do it right, but I'm striving to be more Christ-like every day. Consequently, we as the body of Christ, individually believers, but corporately the appearance of God on this earth, we need to live the values that God wants people to live. It's not the holier-than-thou group. It's the basic believers in Jesus Christ. So, we don't eat any bread that somebody hasn't worked and toiled for. Paul says, I've done it too. I'm doing what is right, and I hope by my example you will see it. And then, by seeing it, you'll copy it. Everything but my sinning and my life I hope people will copy. Stewardship. Devotion of time and resources to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Not because I'm ordained, but because I'm baptized. Everybody has been ordained in your baptism. Everybody has a calling. Mine's different than yours. That's all. To do a different function, word, and sacrament. Consequently, he says, I command you and exhort you. Do your work quietly. Don't boast. That's the arrogant. Just set your nose to the grindstone. Is that not the phrase we used to use? Set it to the grindstone and do your job. Don't be weary in doing what is right. Can I do a little interpretation of what's going on at Our Savior? We have many who have been doing what is right, but they're becoming weary. We need our sisters and brothers around us to bolster us up. We may have been the front line for many years and decades, but we need people behind us to support us and get into the fray with us. This church, we sang the hymn last week, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. We're the church together. I won't sing the rest. But understand, we're interdependent, not independent, upon one another. So like Paul could say in 1 Corinthians, if one person's hurting, we're all hurting. If one person's happy, we celebrate. One person's sad, we mourn. Because we are together, the family of God. Make sense? It's scripture. Go to the gospel. Luke 21, page 9 and 10. Judaism had a problem of making, well, we do it too, who take material things and adorize them, love them, worship them, praise them, and just glorify ourselves in them. The temple was that for Israel. This is a place of worship. God's sacrifices are done here. We respect God, and we show our token faith to God by coming to the temple. A lot of times, you ask people, where's the church you go to? Oh, we're at 6th and Wall. That's only partly correct. The church is where we are dispersed. We're the people of God, and we're moving and grooving in the real world. There was a neat thing on Facebook this last week. I shared it with others if you're on my Facebook thread. It's a neat thing. I'd rather see a church not based upon the size of its membership or its attendance, but rather a church where the people are faithfully living their faith in the world. The number is not the size of the church, and they have police officers, and they got 4 or 5 parking lots, and they're just moving and grooving and having all this great music and bands and all this praise stuff. Give me people who are doing Christ's work out there in the world. It's not the show. It's not the building. We're never going to change it. I gave up 50 years ago. It's not happening. We still think of the church as brick and mortar. So Jesus says, oh, you see all this glory? Don't glory in it. It's going to be destroyed. It's temporal. This brick and mortar, this structure of Our Savior may be raised at some day, or the Lord Jesus will come and it all melt. Whatever happens, God's still running the show. And when that day comes, as Jesus says, watch out. You think you know when it's coming, but you know, since the scriptures were written, it's 2,000 years later, it's like people have given up on Jesus. Is he working on CP time? You have to translate that. Is he on his own schedule, his own clock? Jesus will come back when God says, this is the time I told you about, and you weren't any more ready than if I would have come the first time. Now is my time, and now is the end of time, and it becomes God's time. You're going to hear all these rumors. They've come and gone. Empires have risen and fallen. The Roman Empire and all the other civilizations. The Ottoman Empire, Turkey. Do you remember? We're doing this in the with the Odyssey. Turkey ran Ottoman Empire in the 1500s from Reformation to the 1800s. They owned all of the Middle East. Turkey. Okay? Ponder this. This is what Rabbi Jonathan talks about. Do you think Turkey's in the news anymore? Where is their eyes settled? On Syria? I don't think so. Kurds? I don't think so. Up to even 1917, the Turks would not let Israel, any Jew, live in Israel, Palestine. What do you think they're looking at? What's the prize for Islam? Freedom of religion? Oh, go to your books and read it. No. Tolerance of other faiths? Oh, give me a break. That's not history. Or is it the Quran? The infidel must die. I don't care how they publicly say it. It's there in their scriptures, not mine. We teach Christ, peace, healing, bringing people together, not slaying them so we have one people, but bringing the mixture together so we may be the one people of God, of different flavors, different faiths. Consequently, Jesus says, now let's talk about you, the believer. When these days and storms come, here's what you got to look forward to. This is not exactly a recruiting campaign message. So get ready. He says, they're going to arrest you. Well, I'll be scared to death somebody comes to my door and says, you're a pastor, aren't you? You're a believer, aren't you? Well, we decided Christianity is not the faith of this nation. It's another one, like Islam or something else. We will persecute you. They will persecute you. They'll hand you over to synagogues, which were perceived to be the enemy. Hardly anymore. Prisons. You'll be brought before kings, governors. For what reason? Did you do anything unfair, unjust? No, because of my name. This will give you a crack into their whole unjust way of doing things. You'll have an opportunity to testify. Doesn't mean we're going to convince them. So make up your minds. Don't even think about what you're going to say in your defense, and I haven't even tried to think about my defense. I, the Lord your God, will give you your words. I'll give you wisdom that your opponents cannot razzle-dazzle and get out of it. It will be sufficient for that moment, that time in history. You'll be able to withstand. They will not be able to contradict it. You're going to be betrayed, even by the closest ones to you, right? Your parents, your kids, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, your friends. Oh, Jesus, you're paranoid. I think there are people, his relatives, at the foot of the cross screaming, crucify him, crucify him. I don't think he's overstating the matter. He experienced the consequence. And they will put some of you, didn't say all, some of you to death. You're going to be hated by all because of my name. Has Christianity in America become a bad word? I'm just asking the question. It's rhetorical. I've lived too long. I remember 1976, the bicentennial year. The motto was gun and God. Guns and God. Bumper stickers were around this nation. It's like, give me a break. Bible. Everything, right? Bicentennial. Now. It's almost embarrassment if you say, I believe in God. You don't even go into Trinity. Because we didn't say Allah. We said Yahweh. Will that day come? Is it in transition? I think so. See, I'm safe. Not a hair on your head will perish. I beat him to it. My hair's gone. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Message? Hang in there. It's going to get really bumpy. But if you hang in, you will receive your redemption. Isn't it good that in 2,000 years, even though believers heard this and always expected it in their lifetime, it never happened? Unless you're in the Soviet Empire and China and places where you're being persecuted. It was living. But the day will come, maybe here, maybe in our lifetime. Christ does not lie. The words are clear. It's not a matter of interpretation. It's a matter of, do you believe the word of God? That's the question. Okay, what's the good news?
Let's wrap it up.
The good news is, no matter what happens, we are God's. You got to hear that. Back in the elections of 2016, I said this millions of times, or 2,000 or 3,000. I said, I don't care who gets elected president of the United States, because I know who's king of this country and creation. Next Sunday is Christ the King. We Christians should not blink about whether the empire is evil or corrupt. We would want it kind and gentle, kind of like George Bush said, points of light. But it ain't happening among this crew. So, what is it that we look forward to? We look forward, not for an impending judgment, but if it comes, it already began at 9/11. The breach took place. Harbingers, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. God's breaking down our wall of America. People stand around and say, oh, that was just, you know, that was just our weakness. And they just rationalize God's behavior. That's okay. They did that when the prophets and the kings and the empires fell. God's word was vindicated. But you're entitled to your opinion. I always tell people, take a class with me. You're always allowed to disagree with me, because I uphold everybody's right to be wrong. Ponder that. It's a joke. We have freedom to believe or not to believe. But God calls us to be people of faith, regardless. To stand strong, toe the line, get through this world in one piece with God, not by ourselves, not by political systems, economic systems, whatever everybody else hopes in, I hope in my Lord, because I know where it's going. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us. Remain with us always. Amen. Okay, you got to have something good, right? Hymn of the day. What wondrous love is this?
Thank you.
besides the beautiful music that Jeremy has played for us today, do you feel the power of that hymn? Going through it, and even when I felt like I was losing it, sinking down, and when I realized that Christ set aside his crown to enter my time and space and free me, I got something to sing about. And it doesn't end with my last breath here on this earth. It'll go through eternity. I'll sing to my God. So tune your voice. I hate it when Christians say, I can't sing, Pastor. Oh, you better practice. The choir begins at death. If you'll please rise, we affirm our faith in the creed. We affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. At the right hand of the Father, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Worship continues with our prayers. Marcia leads us.
United with the saints of every time and place, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, when we question the future, you reveal the hope of victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the wisdom to rely on your words and the courage to witness to your love and faithfulness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of our joy, the seas and the hills shout your praise. Inspire us to sing a joyful song to you as we work to preserve and protect your marvelous creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our ruler, you judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Grant perseverance to world leaders and elected officials so that they never grow weary in doing what is right. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, you offer peace to fearful hearts, heal the hurts of all those who suffer injustice and persecution, those who spend months and years in prisons and in hospitals, and for anyone in need today. And we remember in our prayers, Jared Lucas, Beth Chittister, Patricia May, Maria Romp, Donna Taylor, Lisa Slayer, Joel Colhart, Brad DeTerry,
Arnold Bartley Sr., and Lori Parker's sister, Myrna. And we remember the victims in Texas with the floods and the victims in California with the fires. We ask, Lord, that you would be with them as they restore their lives. Give them your renewed hope. We ask that you would comfort the families of Marilyn Wright, Robert Isaacson, and Bob Locke with their passing, and the family of Arnold Bartley Sr. with the passing of his brother. We pray for the men and women serving our nation, including Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Solier, and Faye Wright, and also those returning home from their service and into our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our song, thank you for worship leaders, artists and musicians who create the works of praise and prayer. Guide them in their leadership and empower them to lift up new voices and works of art among the assembly. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Everlasting God, as we await the dawn of the new heaven and the new earth, we give thanks for your beloved who have died in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in hope, we lift our prayers to you, most gracious Lord, trusting that you have received them in your care. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts to do the work of Jesus Christ. In church calendar time, these weeks become very busy weeks administratively, getting nominations, preparing budgets, getting all that stuff together, and snow interferes. Best made plans, mice and men often go astray. But the work of life goes on continuously. To that, we had a bazaar yesterday. I feel like Frank Sinatra. I retired from cooking the meal, I think 5 or 6 times. In the 26 years, I think I've cooked 23 of those meals, maybe 24. Anyways, we had a wonderful bazaar yesterday. The gals did a wonderful time. We are thankful for the people who helped us, staffed us, the volunteers, the hours, making the crafts, setting them up. When people come in, you don't realize there were 2 days of labor before that. Disembarking their cars, everything. Dumping it here, and they don't want to have to put it back in their car. So they want me to let you know that the store is open after service. Right, Kate Price? See, you didn't even write it down for me. I know that. It's emblazed in my memory. So please help yourself downstairs. But in addition to all that, it doesn't affect you. It affects me and my ministry. In the last 2.5 weeks, I've had 4 deaths on top of all that. Everywhere I turn, I get a phone call. Pastor, can you do this service? Pastor, so-and-so's dying. Pastor, can you do this? I shared with those who work with me in the kitchen this last week. I'm so readily programmed in my spirit. Somebody calls and says they got a service. I don't look at my calendar anymore. Yes. Well, I did a mistake, but it was a happy mistake. God obviously wanted me to do it. Monday morning, I'm working on the bulletin, getting things going. Tom Simpson calls from Carr Simpson. He says, I got a death. He's a Lutheran. I said, that's never mattered to me. You don't have to give me that headline. I said, well, when is it? It's Saturday at 11 o'clock. I'll do it. Tell him yes. Because if family's under stress, my schedule doesn't matter. Family life, whatever, doesn't matter. This time, unfortunately, we had a bazaar. And we're going to be inspected by the health department. And I had to train the kitchen to be ready in case I was gone to the funeral. But it all worked out. God's timing is impeccable. It's great. If you need it, call on it. It works. So yesterday, I'm downstairs for the bazaar. Get another phone call from Arthur Smith Funeral Home. Pastor, Bob Locke has passed away. The family is requesting you to do the service on Sunday at 5 p.m. I said, okay. I'm going to be coming off of a bazaar at a funeral. And I have 2 worship services, and I have a bulletin to work on. What time? 5 o'clock. Okay, I'm doing it. I will do it. I don't know what my afternoon's going to be. I usually take a 15-minute brain scrub, it's called, by psychiatrist. You clear your brain, and you're refreshed, and you're ready to go again. That's how I survive. So I will be there. Bob Locke, here at Our Savior, was active as a worshiper for 15 years. Many of us drove him, including my 4 children, well, 3 children who drove. I think my son drove him for 7 years. But over years of his presence here, he couldn't drive. He was slow functioning, okay? And his parents took care of them, buried them. They came up to us, I was telling Doug Cole this morning, they came out from like a Moravian church, but it was a kind of close to Lutheran, and only one in Metro Detroit. I never had anybody from that tradition. And they explained, well, Pastor, when we come up here to Port Huron and we just moved in, we thought we'd come to a Lutheran church. I said, you are always welcome here. And so they made their foundation here with us, though their heart was always back at that Moravian church. I said, fine. So They made their roots, presence ministered to them in their lifetime. Then Bob continued beyond their parents. His sister still survives him north of Port Huron and Sanilac. So she has requested me to be. And it's like, how do you say no? I don't say no to anybody. This is ministry. This is proclaiming Christ and hope in the belly of death. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, we say every Easter. So that's taking place today. The actual service for the family, even though I worked with them for a whole week, is going to be the actual memorial service will be in our cremains out here in our church. For those on the radio, if you don't know, we have a place where we bury cremains for members. And that'll take place in the spring, they tell me. So, okay, many things going on. Church council then, Tuesday night, rescheduled. Everybody called to arms. And congregational meeting next Sunday. After each service, we decided 10 years ago to have a meeting, do it in two different sections. And then we have a potluck just to get together. Okay, so join us. Worship continues, gifts are presented. Please rise, we sing.
Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.